Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
Today we attack one of society's toughest health problems. The use of tobacco products is causing untold misery around the world. And if you, a family member or a friend, is caught up in this tragic habit, stay tuned. What you're about to hear could save a life. On this broadcast, Dr. Jennings will present his 15 simple solutions for smoking cessation. His guidance will not only help clear the body of nicotine's notorious grip, it'll also help clear the mind of the habit as well. Dr. Jennings, let me begin by asking you a question I know is on the mind of many listeners today. We've all heard the stories of men and women who've smoked for 30 years, decide that it's harmful to their health, and just stop. No withdrawal, no mental gymnastics necessary, no changes in the lifestyle or diet or anything. They just toss the cigarettes and go on. Why can't we all do that?
Well, because what you described never happens. Nobody just makes that decision out of the blue. There's always a groundwork, years of contemplative thought. They never really may have thought about it as directly to make the decision on it, but there are influences that have been influencing for years and working and preparing them for the point that they make that decision. And when they do stop, there are withdrawals. They just may not demonstrate or allow those things to be communicated to those around them, so it doesn't appear. But there is a physiologic response when you stop a substance like this, which is a withdrawal. There is a neural adaptation that occurs. So just because some person may appear to be able to do it that suddenly without any withdrawal, and maybe they don't feel it as intensely as another person, doesn't mean that there wasn't a preparatory groundwork that went on in their mind and also an adjustment to their physiology that occurred in the aftermath.
Okay, on the other side of this coin, many listening to this program right now are Christians. Why can't we just pray? Hey, Lord, God can make the universe. God can create all the laws you talk about on this program, including the law of gravity. Why in the world can't he just simply remove the need for cigarettes out of someone who is praying for him to do that?
Well, because the need for cigarettes is an artificially fostered need when we put this chemical in our system that stimulates neuroreceptors in our brain. The neuroreceptors in our brain are there for a purpose. So in order for God to remove the, quote, need, he would have to remove the neuroreceptors that he put there to function as a normal purpose that are now being misused or abused by the chemical. So God doesn't do that, number one. Number two, the process of gaining victory over a habit like this is the process not of just getting free from a substance, but this process of growing personal character strength, self-discipline, self-governance that cannot be given to you in an external way, that can only be obtained by personal choice. And so what happens in the way God works in our life is that he provides us truth to our minds in ways that we can comprehend it, and also will give an oftentimes a conviction of what the right course is in addition to the comprehension of the truth. And then he leaves us free to determine what choice we will make, to act on that truth or not act on that truth. If we choose to act on the truth and ask in prayer for God's strength, then after making the choice, we can receive divine power or strength to strengthen our wills to follow through. But we don't get his strength until we make the choice, because God always leaves us free to make our own choices.
What I'm hearing you say is that stopping smoking is a broader act than simply giving up something you stick in your mouth and suck on. Am I right?
It is absolutely. It's not just smoking. Every choice of life has broader implications than just the initial choice itself. The choices we make are determining the kind of people we become and impacting the characters we develop. Overcoming any type of addictive habit will strengthen the person's self-governance, self-control, their esteem will rise, they will have greater confidence in themselves. All these things will improve, so it has a broader impact on their sense of well-being and their mental health and their character strength than simply having the chemical addiction removed.
Now, of course, we're facing a new year coming up in just a couple days here. So instead of saying, let's do some mental gymnastics here, maybe semantics here. Instead of saying, in 2010, I'm going to stop smoking, what should they say instead to include that broader change that's going to come into their lives?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with setting a goal that has a very specific focus. Like in 2010, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to apply myself to overcome this habit, and I'm going to stop smoking, and I'm going to make intelligent decisions to achieve that goal. I think there's nothing wrong with setting a goal that has a very specific focus, but also being aware that in doing that, the only way you accomplish that is by exercising your power of choice in healthy ways that strengthens your resolve and your overall self-governance and control, as you will resist some of the temptations that go along with the habit of smoking. So you have awareness that there'll be an expansion of growth and abilities in your personhood as you make this choice, but your focus may still be on just smoking, stopping the smoking.
Okay, very good. Because when a person wants to be healthier, they say, okay, I want to be healthier. And then that includes a lot of other things underneath. There's some sub-directories there under that main directory of improving your health. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if we're wanting to improve ourselves next year, one of those sub-directories could be stop smoking, and it's okay to focus directly on that.
Yeah, and I don't like necessarily this broad category. My goal for the new year is to be healthier. Actually, yeah. I find that less helpful. And the reason that's less helpful is because, one, it doesn't have a specific focus that you can actually apply. Number two, it can seem overwhelming. Wow, if I start listing all the things that we can do to be healthy, there are volumes and encyclopedias written on that. It could seem so overwhelming that no person could possibly do all that, and you could get discouraged and not try. So I think it's actually healthier to narrow it down to a specific one thing, and then after you've made that one thing part of your life, then you add a second thing, and after you've made that second thing part of your life, you add a third thing, and it's just one at a time. See, once you've overcome smoking, then you don't have to apply energy to overcoming smoking anymore. It's not an issue for you anymore, so your energy is now free to apply something new. But if you try to apply every aspect of healthful living to your life, having not already incorporated those into your life, it is overwhelming. You really don't have the resources to do that. So I think it's a more specific focus is going to be much healthier. People pick one thing. And when we talk about diet change, well, I want to have a healthier diet. Well, that's also too broad. We don't go from eating a totally destructive diet to a really wonderfully healthy diet, usually overnight in one fell swoop. What's better is to say, hey, I'm going to put myself on a path that in 12 months from now, I am going to have a healthier diet. And you put yourself on a plan that maybe every month you make one dietary change a month for the next 12 months. I'm going to cut out red meats for this month. And then next month, I'm going to cut out chicken maybe. Or I'm going to start limiting the animal fats and go in more, and add more vegetables in. And you make one change every month. And in 12 months, you've got a completely different thing. It's not so overwhelming.
All right. Well, very good. I'm glad you said that, because I have before me Dr. Jennings' Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation, and these are 15 very focused steps that will bring you to victory, listener, and I want you to be ready for this. I want you, during this break coming up here, I want you to go get a pad of paper and a pencil or a pen, and I want you to come back and be prepared to take these 15 steps one at a time, focus on them, and make the change you know you got to do, because this habit is not good for you. It's not good for the people around you. It's not good for the environment. It is just not good, and you are wanting to fix that, and we're going to help you do it. Our phone lines will be open during the entire show for your questions and comments, 800-775-4673. If you have a question about something we're talking about at that moment, quickly dial it, 800-775-4673. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Here's your Daily Heartbeat with Dr. James Markham.
How do we know what's true in the world of diet and weight loss? You know, sometimes we hear low-fat, high-fat, low-carb, high-carb, low-protein, high-protein. Then recently I read an article that says none of the diet plans out there work long-term. Well, I say let's get back to the biblical treatment. Let's get back to what the Bible says. You know, friends, the original diet consisted of fresh fruit, nuts, grains, and water. This was the biblical diet. This made Daniel and his friends much smarter than the others just by getting back to the basics. So one thing I want to urge you in any diet plan, let's get back to the biblical plan. Fresh fruits, grains, nuts, vegetables, water. Make that the cornerstone of your good diet.
Thank you, Dr. Markham. If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Do you always feel close to God? Hi, this is Jeremy Woodruff, and one morning my daughter Elizabeth and I were making breakfast and packing school lunches as the sun was coming up over the ridge behind our house in a dazzling East Tennessee sunrise. Ellie and I commented on how beautiful it was and how close God seemed at that moment. But it was hardly 30 minutes later as we were driving to school looking straight at that same brilliant sun that Ellie commented,
"It's not beautiful anymore, it's painful now."
And as I pondered that profound contrast, I began to wonder why at times God seems so intimately close and other times so glaringly painful. If you've ever asked questions like this, wondering how to reconcile these seemingly opposing attributes of our loving God, please call 800-775-4673 and ask for the free Discover Bible lessons. I believe they will deepen your understanding of God. Call 800-775-HOPE and ask for Discover.
Welcome back to the program. A lot of people right around these days are making New Year's resolutions for next year, which is coming up in just a matter of days, and I have a feeling that many are making this one. They're saying, in 2010, I'm going to stop smoking. And I cannot imagine a better habit for your health than stopping smoking. If you just get rid of that, a better influence would just not be found anywhere. Dr. Jennings, let's begin with your 15 simple solutions for smoking cessation. Listener, write the first one down. He says, stop caffeine. Now, Dr. Jennings, what on earth does a cup of coffee have to do with a smoking habit?
Well, that's very interesting. As we've done research on the neurobiology of our brain and the neurochemistry of our brain, caffeine actually in the brain chemically triggers an increased craving for nicotine in people who have nicotine habits. And so when I tell people to stop caffeine, I'm talking about stopping caffeine during the period of time through which they are going to be going through nicotine withdrawal and getting free of cigarettes. If somebody at some point down the road, after they're free of their tobacco, wants to go and add caffeine, a Coke or a coffee back to their diet occasionally, I have no objection to that. But during this time period in which they are wanting to diminish the intensity of the cravings so they can maximize the likelihood of being able to successfully quit smoking, you don't want to add something in that's going to magnify or intensify the cravings. And so it's very easy, really, to quit caffeine. And if somebody is drinking only 1 to 2 to 3 cups a day, they can just quit. Boom, there's nothing really to do. If you're drinking significantly more than that, and I have patients sometimes drinking more than a pot of coffee a day, then I recommend that they taper the caffeine, 1 cup a day until they're down to none. And the reason for that is if you stop suddenly, you can get really bad headaches and you have significant fatigue as the body is adapting to this removal, this over excessive stimulant that you've been giving. And then once you're off the caffeine, then you can move forward with the rest of the plan to quit smoking. But if you continue the caffeine during the smoking time, that you can have a significantly intense nicotine cravings. Additionally, let's say you quit the caffeine and you've quit the smoking and you haven't had any caffeine for 3 or 4 months, nor any cigarettes for 3 or 4 months. And then you go have your first cup of coffee with caffeine in it. Be prepared for you actually suddenly out of the blue get these cravings for nicotine because there is this association there and you may find yourself, well, where'd that come? I just really wanted a cigarette. And there will be a time where you're going to have to be prepared for that and resist that. And then you can have some caffeine without that craving. But that can happen. It has been known to happen.
Okay. Or stop both of them forever. I'd go along with that. How about you, Dr. Jennings?
Well, yeah, caffeine you can certainly stop forever. But again, one or two cups occasionally is not a big deal. It is a big deal if you drink more than that. It can have detrimental effects. Decaf coffee, I recommend people move towards the decaf coffee more. The decaf coffee can still have antioxidants. There's been some science showing some benefit of that.
Right.
So, but I don't think we can say with good science that one or two cups of coffee a day is detrimental. In fact, there is some evidence that would suggest that one or two cups, very modest amounts, can actually may have some protective effect to our brain in certain ways. But you have to be very careful to limit that.
Okay. All right. Good. Number two. Write this down, listener. Avoid alcohol. Make that connection for us.
Well, the same thing. It's actually same thing and more magnified. Alcohol, also in the brain, increases the craving for nicotine. So neurochemically, when you take alcohol and you're a smoker, it's going to trigger a craving for you to reach for cigarettes. So if you're in that withdrawal phase and you reach for a glass of wine or beer or a shot of vodka or whatever it is you drink, and you're trying to quit, you're going to markedly increase your cravings for nicotine. But worse, not only do you increase the cravings for nicotine, alcohol actually undermines willpower. It impairs prefrontal cortex. It undermines resolve. So you weaken your determination and motivation to quit, and you increase your cravings to smoke. So alcohol is almost a guaranteed substance that will guarantee you to fail at your attempts to quit smoking. If you drink alcohol while you're trying to quit, it's almost a guarantee you're going to fail because the cravings are increased and your desire and your willpower are going to be undermined. So alcohol needs to go.
All right. Very good. Number three, and this is important. I can see why it would be. You say set a date. What do you mean by that?
Well, exactly what it says. That once you've made this decision and you look at, okay, you know, I drink a pot and a half of coffee a day. That's like 15 cups of coffee a day. Man, you know what? If I stop those, I can't even get out of bed. I can't function. Now, you're probably right because you're so overstimulated. Your brain has adapted and downregulated some of the receptors and suddenly stopping, you're going to have terrible pounding headaches and you're going to feel fatigued and not feel good and irritable. All kinds of things are going to happen. So I just can't. So I've got to prepare myself to stop smoking. I've got to taper this caffeine. It's going to take me 2 weeks, maybe 18 days to get off the caffeine before I'm ready to actually. So I'm going to look at my calendar. Okay, 21 days from now, that's my date. Okay, and on that date, I'm throwing my cigarettes away, and that's the date I start. So you set a date, because if you don't set a date, you say, you know what, I'm going to quit. One of these days, I'm going to quit. You just keep talking about quitting, but you don't actually ever do it.
That's right.
And then when
the date comes that you quit. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to get rid of everything. Get rid of the cigarettes, get rid of the ashtrays, get rid of all the smoking paraphernalia. You don't leave that stuff around so that in a moment of intense craving, you have it so easily accessible. You want to make it very difficult for yourself because this is your choice to quit. Nobody's doing it to you. Remember, you're the one in charge of quitting. You have made a decision that you want to be free. You don't want to be a slave to the substance anymore. So you want to, as you implement this decision, to put obstacles in your own way to slow yourself down from tripping your own self up. So you want to get rid of the cigarettes, get rid of the lighters, get rid of the ashtrays, get rid of everything so it makes it very difficult for you to go and smoke so that you don't trip your own self up because this is your choice to get yourself free.
Okay, so we've stopped the caffeine, we're stopping the alcohol, we've set a date, that date comes, we throw the cigarettes out, the ashtrays, the paraphernalia. Now, you say number four, trigger identification and replacement. What are you talking about there?
Yeah, this is an interesting one that a lot of people don't think about, but anybody who has a habit, whatever that habit might be, particularly, and we'll talk about smoking since we're talking about today, there are psychological and situational cues or clues or triggers that trigger us to reach for that cigarette. For instance, some people have a habit pattern of smoking every time they get in the car. So as soon as they get in the car, they're in the habit of reaching for that lighter and pushing the lighter on the car. So what's going to happen is, as they go through this process of quitting smoking, they put them down, they stopped, and now they go out to get in the car. As soon as they get in the car, they're going to get an intense craving to smoke because they have this association with driving and smoking. Now, this is called classic conditioning. If you remember from your psychology classes in college, Pavlov did an experiment where he took these dogs and he fed them. And every time he fed them, he rang a bell. And as dogs have the food presented to them, they'll salivate very heavily as they're anticipating the food. And so every time that he presented food, he rang the bell. And he did this over and over again. And then he rang the bell, but there's no food anywhere in sight. And all the dogs started salivating. Why did they all start salivating? Because they associated the bell with the food. When we have a habit like this, we associate things with the habit. Getting in the car, for example, would be one. Some people have a cigarette as soon as they get up in the morning. Just waking up triggers a cigarette. Some people have it after a meal. Some people have it after a shower, after sex. Some people have emotional triggers when they're frustrated, when they're irritable, when they're angry, when they're lonely, when they're hurt. These emotions trigger them to reach for a cigarette. So it's real important that you do an inventory, and this can be happening in the time you're tapering off of your caffeine. You're actually doing a conscious inventory of the places and situations that trigger you to reach for a cigarette so that you can actually list these are my triggers. These things trigger me. So you can anticipate, you know what, when I go get in that car, I'm going to have this trigger to reach for a cigarette. You're already aware of it. It doesn't catch a blindside, and you replace the cigarette. So when you get in the car, you pop a Tic Tac. You put a chewing gum in your mouth. You put a lollipop in your mouth. You do something else that you've already anticipated you carry with you that will replace the cigarette. And that's what you do instead. If it's the lonely feelings, you know what? There's lots of things you can do that. You can do something like a Tic Tac if you want. But you could also say, you know what? I'm gonna pray. I'm lonely. And I'm going to turn my heart to the Lord and say, Lord, send your spirit to fill my heart because I'm lonely right now. So instead of reaching for a substance, you're going to go to your husband and ask for a hug. Can I have a hug because I'm feeling lonely? You're going to do something else to replace the cigarette in that situation because you've anticipated. So it's real important to make these lists, to know yourself well. You can prepare during the time, set your date, and then you've got something prepared to confront these triggers when they come. And then eventually, just like with Pavlov's dogs, if he rang the bell enough and rang the bell enough and rang the bell enough and never presented food, the dogs eventually deconditioned and stopped salivating when the bell rang. So if you don't smoke in these situations that used to trigger smoking, eventually you'll get in the car and won't even think about a cigarette.
We probably should warn spouses that if your significant other comes to you at some time during this time and says, give me a hug now, that's probably why they're asking for it. They're replacing that hug with a cigarette. Okay, number five, join forces. What are we doing to join forces?
Well, that's if you're married and your spouse smokes, one of the best things to do is to get your spouse to join you in the process and that the two of you team up together and implement the smoking cessation plan together. During this time, then you can encourage each other. You can support each other. You're there to help each other when the cravings get strong. You can also apply the cleaning and getting rid of all the paraphernalia together. You don't have the temptation of one spouse to continue to smoke in front of the other spouse. Yeah, yeah. You can, now, if you're married and your spouse is not a smoker, you still can solicit the help of your spouse. Join forces. Say, educate them on what you're going to go through. Tell them about your plan. Ask them to be your coach and your partner to encourage and praise and support during this time. Let them know that you might need a hug at a particular time.
Yes.
And
yes.
So they're anticipating that, and they will be there to be that support for you because I've never met a spouse, non-smoking spouse yet, who wanted their spouse to keep smoking. All of them want you to quit. Yeah, if you're married, then your spouse doesn't smoke and you do. I can promise you, your spouse wants you to quit. I've never met one who didn't.
Yeah.
So they will be very encouraging, very supportive, very enthusiastic, very happy for you to quit.
All right. Our phone lines are open, listener, for your questions and comments. This is an important topic. Oh, my goodness, this is an important topic because your health and possibly your life is on the line here. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. 800-775-4673. Stop caffeine, avoid alcohol, set a date, trigger identification replacement, and join forces. We're 5 down, 10 to go on Dr. Jennings' Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
This is Max McLean. Consider this advice for building better relationships from Proverbs 3. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you now have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways, for the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. From Proverbs 3. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
Be able to hear the Word of God today and every day. Hear more at radiobible.org. That's radiobible.org.
I was 8 years old when I realized what it was that I had to do. I was walking down the street and I saw so many homeless men and women. I knew I had to find a way to help. 2 years later, I started a nonprofit group to feed the homeless. Hi, my name is Amber Kaufman, and today I'm 20 years old. For the past 10 years, the organization I created, Happy Helpers for the Homeless, has delivered love, food, and clothing directly to men and women living on the streets. We've also helped other young people discover the joy in serving others. You know there's something you need to do in your community. But maybe you thought, what can I do? I'm just one person. You'll be amazed at what a difference you can make if you just put your mind to it. Decide today to make that difference. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. Our phone lines are open for your questions and comments on this vital topic. 800-775-4673. 800-775-4673. We're talking about Dr. Jennings' Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation. And we are at step number six here. And, you know, we had 24 inches of snow the other day up here in West Virginia, Dr. Jennings, and you're saying we need more exercise if we're stopping smoking. How do you get exercise when you can't go out your front door? And why do you need exercise, too?
Well, those are two different questions. How do you get exercise when you can't go out your front door? You have a treadmill in your house. You have a rowing machine in your house. You have a bike in your house. There's lots of ways to exercise in your house if you can't get out your front door. And
so exercise basically is movement. Just do something that moves your body.
You can sit and do jumping jacks in your house. You can do push-ups and sit-ups. You can go up and down your stairs 20 times. You know, there's lots of ways to exercise. But exercise is exactly that. It is. Now, my personal opinion is the best exercises are the exercises that are not focused on exercising. The exercises, for instance, playing basketball, playing racquetball, playing tennis. What are you focusing on? You're focusing on the game, and it's fun.
The game.
Exercise is just something you have to do to be able to play the game. And it's not about the exercise. It's about something else. And that is where the focus is. And I think those are the best exercises. They're more enjoyable, and they can really be quite effective in the physiological benefits. But why is exercise important in the context of smoking cessation? Well, exercise has tremendous benefits along multiple lines to recover and heal our bodies in this process. One, it helps strengthen the cardiovascular system, which circulates the blood and will help remove toxins from our body as we have a better circulation. Two, it will strengthen the lungs and start mobilizing and helping the lungs clear out the crud as best the body can from the years of smoking and improve lung function. Those are really good things, but there's even more benefits. The brain, when we exercise aerobically, produces endorphins and enkephalins, which are naturally occurring mood elevators and anxiolytics, if you will, and they reduce the intensity of the cravings that you will go through. You will feel better and less irritable and have less intense cravings if you're exercising. You will have a greater sense of well-being or peace during this time. Also, The exercise causes the body to release aerobic exercise, interleukin 10. Interleukin 10 is a very powerful anti-inflammatory, which suppresses the inflammatory response and will decrease aches and pains and stuff throughout the body. So you'll actually end up feeling better. I know patients, for instance, with fibromyalgia, these inflammatory conditions, will tell you, I can't exercise because I ache and hurt all over. Actually, the number one scientifically double-blind placebo-controlled studied intervention that helps reduce pain and symptoms of fibromyalgia better than anything else out there is aerobic exercise. There's no pharmaceutical agent that is as effective as aerobic exercise in helping the patients with fibromyalgia hurt less and function better, because exercise releases interleukin 10, which suppresses the other inflammatory factors that are causing the symptoms in the first place. Well, cigarette smoke is an inflammatory agent. It causes, poisons our system, it causes the immune system to stir up, causes the oxidizing stress on the body, free radicals. And so exercise will help the system purge itself and clear much of these damaging effects and help the system strengthen itself, as well as giving us a calmer mental attitude. So a lot of good things from exercise.
Absolutely. And give us a quick definition of aerobic exercise.
Aerobic exercise, basically getting your heart rate up and to the point that you're going to break a sweat. Keep that up for 15 to 20 minutes. But as with all things, depending on your current status of physical health, you must start low and go slow,
right,
and build into it easily so you don't get any type of an injury. And of course, everybody needs to check with their physician to see that they are in a situation where they're capable of engaging in exercise. But this is a general principle that is true for people.
All right, very good. Step number 7, and I was surprised when I read this on your list, Dr. Jennings. You are saying the right use of imagination. Now, we're Christians. Aren't we supposed to control that imagination and not let it go just off and affect us in any way?
That's exactly what I mean by right use of imagination. Using our imagination, taking control of it, that we're in control of it, not letting it go off in any old way. What happens is this. People who are struggling with any type of addiction, and we're going to focus primarily on cigarettes, but if you have another one, this will apply as well. If they make the decision to quit and they say, okay, this is my date, put the cigarettes down. Okay, first day without them, sometime in the next hour, 3 hours, 6 hours, they're going to start experiencing intense cravings. If they're not careful, these cravings will grab a hold of their imagination and they will start imagining, oh, man, one would taste good so right now. Oh, it tastes so good. Oh, I could just smell one right now. They might imagine themselves opening one up and lighting one up and feel the draw of the smoke across their lips as they're sucking that cigarette and so forth. I mean, the whole thing. Yes. And smokers that are listening right now, I'll tell you, if you imagine doing that, is that going to help you quit? Or is that going to absolutely undermine your resolve and you're going to be going out there having to get one because the intensity of the craving gets so bad? So using your imagination like that, it hurts you. So I tell my patients, use your imagination to help you. So when you get the craving, I want you to imagine reaching into your purse or into your pocket, pulling out a flip-top box of cigarettes, and when you flip it open, it's crawling full of maggots.
Oh,
you know,
my goodness.
Or when you flip it open, cockroaches come rolling out on your hand.
Oh, man.
Okay? And similar things. You flip it open and a rat comes running out on your hand.
A snake.
Exactly. Or spiders,
yes,
or whatever it might be. Okay? As I tell people this, 100% of the time, they, as soon as I say that and it registers and they get the visual image of maggots crawling in there, there's this foul look on their face and they go, oh, okay. And this is key. What just happened when they used their imagination that way? If that pack was in their hands, what would they have done with it?
Thrown it away.
They would have thrown it away. They wouldn't have brought it to their mouth. They would have gotten it as far away as they could. And so what happens, and this is a real key that a lot of people don't realize, the real victory to any addiction is not the simple avoidance of the substance, nor is it simply having cognitive, fact-based information about their addiction. I haven't yet in America met a smoker who needed more facts about cigarettes being harmful to them. They know lots of facts about that. That's not what they need.
Yeah.
What they absolutely need to be free and genuinely free is to change the way they feel about their addiction, about their cigarettes. See, when they think about a smoker, when they think about their cigarettes and smoking one, they get a warm, what I call a warm fuzzy. Oh, that'd be nice. Oh, yeah, they taste so good. Oh, they feel so good. They help relax me. And they get this warm, positive emotional reinforcement associated with the cigarette. To be genuinely free, they have to have not just the abstinence from the substance, but they have to have the feeling of revulsion and disgust, the same feeling that they got when they envisioned those maggots. And if every time they think of a cigarette or see a cigarette, they actually get revulsion and disgust, they don't have to worry. They're not putting one of those in their mouth. And so we can use our imagination intelligently to associate with cigarettes disgusting and reviling things so that we engender those emotions which immediately suppress the craving. As soon as I've done this with patients, as soon as they envision the maggots crawling on them, I said, now, how's that craving right now? Oh, no, I don't want one. You see, it immediately suppresses the craving when you have this other emotion associated. And so this is what we can do with our imaginations. And I've had patients come in and told me this was absolutely hugely powerful for them, that as long as they did this, the cravings were instantly suppressed. And over the course of time, now, as I teach them to use their imagination in this way, understand this is a stepping stone. We want to cross a river. We have stepping stones we can step on to get to the other side. So we use our imagination associating disgusting and vile things with the cigarettes until we're actually free. Once we're actually free of the addiction and we can see cigarettes for what they truly are in real light, not being confused by our feelings that make us feel like they're so wonderful for us, then we don't have to use the imagination to see how disgusting they are. They really are disgusting. Let me give you an analogy of what I mean. Imagine that you've single and you met a young lady, and you meet this young lady and she makes you feel warm when you're around her. And she talks so sweetly to you. You just are drawn to her. And so you get in a relationship with her, and she gives you a back rub, and you just love those back rubs. And over the course of time, you get more intimately involved with her. And you might even marry this person. And several years go by, and you discover one day that the entire time she has been stealing your money out of your savings and retirement account. She has been molesting your little brother, sleeping around, and has given you syphilis and AIDS.
Oh, my goodness.
When you find out all those facts, do you have a change in feeling about her?
I guess so.
Well, that's what cigarettes do. They come to you. I'm your friend. I'm here for you. I'll make you feel good. While the entire time they're stealing your money, stealing your health, and ruining the health of anybody you smoke around. And when you see them for what they are, they're disgusting. So you don't have to use the stepping stones eventually, but most people can't, even though they recognize those facts right now don't give that visceral gut revulsion to it, but they will once you're completely free. So you have to use your imagination with some of these other things like cockroaches and maggots and things like that, which will give you that revulsion that will help you cross that river and get to that side where you're free. And then you can bring the truth in to see them for what they are, and they remain very disgusting.
Wow. Let me get this one more step in here before the break, Dr. Jennings. Drink plenty of water and fresh juices. This has to do with toxins, am I right?
Exactly. You want to flush your system. So waters and the fresh juices, the fresher they are, meaning getting the oranges, cutting them open and squeeze them yourself, the more antioxidant benefit they have and the more they will scavenge up the free radicals and the toxic poisons that you put in your system. And you want to flush the system and get as much of that out of your system as you can. This is particularly important during the first 10 days or so of this process. Ultimately, it's healthy for the whole rest of your life, but for the cessation part of it, that's where you really want to go. And I don't say this in my steps, but I want to let our listening audience know the physical addiction part is going to be over in 7 days. So the neurons will reset themselves 7 days after no more nicotine exposure. But that doesn't mean all the other psychological triggers and cravings for other emotional reasons and habit patterns and everything will be free. They won't be free in 7 days. But the actual physical addiction and neurons resetting themselves will be done in 7 days.
So on that eighth day, you could just realize that you're dealing with mind situation here, not a physical situation.
Yeah, habit patterns. For instance, do you ever have a craving for a particular food you enjoy? And you can just crave it.
Yeah.
And you don't have an addiction to that particular food. There's not a neurological resetting that needs to happen, but we have a habit that we have conditioned ourselves to want that.
All right. Well, we are running through these steps one after another, and these make all kinds of sense to me, listener. I'm sure they do to you. But if you have a question or comment, here's our phone line. It's open right now, 800-775-4673. 800-775-4673. We'll be right back, so stay tuned.
Too many Christians don't know the truth about dinosaurs, but Christian scientist Dr. Elaine Graham Kennedy is out to change that. Dr. Kennedy is a research scientist who has done field work at dig sites in remote places like Patagonia. She has spent her life studying dinosaurs, and now she has published a remarkable book called Dinosaurs, published by Pacific Press, that is both scientifically based and biblically sound. It answers the questions many Christians ask. Did dinosaurs really live? Are dinosaur bones fake? Who made the dinosaurs? What happened to them? And were dinosaurs on Noah's Ark? Dr. Kennedy's book, Dinosaurs, is filled with interesting facts, photographs, and colorful charts. It is a must for every Christian home and perfect for reading with your kids. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
We are going through the steps for smoking cessation with Dr. Timothy Jennings. 800-775-4673 is our phone number. We're not having calls, and I can understand why. You want to hear what Dr. Jennings has to say. Let's get right to it. You say step number 9, buddy up. Now, we talked about buddying up with your spouse. Should we go outside the home for buddies?
If you need to, absolutely. You need a buddy. It can be your spouse, but it doesn't have to be your spouse. Sometimes spouses are not supportive. Sometimes you have a spouse who's smoking and doesn't want to quit themselves. So buddy up means that you solicit a close friend, buddy. It can be a spouse, doesn't have to be, who during the first week to 10 days knows you're going through this process, and their function is to be there anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, for this event. If you get a craving that seems so intense that all your other interventions that you've put in place for yourself seem like they're going to fail, that you can pull this as like emergency phone number, pull them and have them talk you through the craving. And the reason for that is cravings. If you've ever been in a situation where you were maybe in a church and you got hungry and your hunger cravings were going, but you couldn't get up and go get something right then, if you don't gratify it, it goes away for a while.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
it comes back.
Yeah,
cravings
yeah,
come in waves. Yeah. Now, the difference between the craving for nicotine and food is you don't actually need nicotine where you do need food, so they keep coming back. But the cravings for nicotine will go away, and next time they come back, it's a little weaker, and the next time it's a little weaker, especially if you're making the change in imagination we talked about, and eventually they'll go away and not come back. So you want this buddy there who you can call to talk you through the craving that you're currently struggling with for that first week to 10 days. That's what I mean by buddy up.
And number 10, you want us to talk to our heavenly buddy as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. Prayer. Prayer is essential. You want to pray beforehand in the planning process, in the implementation process, in the daily process. Have an attitude of prayer. And remember how God works. God will not make the choice for you. But if you make the choice to quit, he will empower you and he will get you through. And if you have other issues that trigger your smoking, like loneliness, feelings of abandonment, all those issues, then those are absolutely things to talk to God about. Send your spirit. Give me comfort. Strengthen me. Those types of things. So, yes, we want to absolutely include God in the process of this victory. He wants to see you free as well.
Absolutely. Number 11, clean everything. How do you do that? I mean, why do you do that?
Well, the cleaning everything means basically get the nicotine and the tobacco smell out of everything. Olfactory stimulation, meaning our sense of smell, is a very primitive neurological ability, and it is wired into our emotional centers more than anything. If you ever had that experience of smelling a cologne or perfume or some smell, maybe you haven't smelled since you were 6 years old in grandma's house, and as soon as you smell it, boom, you're just flooded with these memories, okay? That's what smell can do to us. And so you want to remove all of these things that might trigger you to have a cigarette, and so you want to clean your car, clean your rugs, clean your clothes, your curtains, your windows. Get the smell of tobacco out of everything, because you really don't want to be stimulated that neural circuit in such a way that would increase your cravings in any way. You want to be free of it. You want to have fresh cleanness to your healthy new life.
All right. Smoking cessation, step number 12. Mental games. What are we talking about there?
Well, I've had patients that will play this game with themselves. You know what? You're right. And they go through all this thing. You're right. I need to quit anyway. I'm going to quit. And that's why they say, I'm going to quit. And then in the back of their mind, they have this little secret escape clause that says, I'm going to quit unless I have a really bad day. Or I'm going to, this is my last cigarette, unless I feel overwhelmed. I'm never going to have another one, unless I'm abandoned or lonely. Okay, and they have these little escape clauses in the back of their mind. And I can tell you, everyone who does this will create the scenario that gives them the permission to use their escape clause so they can smoke again.
Yeah.
And so you can't play these mental games. You have to say, look, I'm going to quit. I'm either going to quit or I'm not going to quit. And if I'm going to quit, then there is no escape clause. I'm going to handle loneliness. I'm going to handle bad days. I'm going to handle frustration. I'm going to handle whatever comes without cigarettes. That's the way it's going to be. And you just eliminate escape clauses. No mental games.
And your step number 13, you're saying that we need to remind ourselves for our reasons for quitting. What have you found in dealing with people that smoke is the number one reason for them to quit?
Actually, I wouldn't say there's a number one. People have lots of reasons for quitting, depending on their situation, their circumstances, what they value. There's lots of reasons for quitting. Some people quit because they've come to conversion to the Lord and they want to dedicate their spirit temple to the Lord. Some people quit because they just had a grandchild and they want to see their grandchild get married. I mean, there's lots of different reasons that people quit. But the point is, everybody has reasons for quitting. And what I recommend is you make a list. You actually write down the reasons for quitting. And it could include better health. It could include monetary savings. It can include the no longer hassles to have to find a place to smoke. It could include reminding yourself the benefit of the loved ones and being there for your loved ones, your granddaughter's graduation and marriage and all these types of things. It can be lots of reasons. Write them down, carry them with you in your pocket, and when the cravings get strong, pull that list out and go over them one at a time and contemplate them, and also in a prayerful attitude as well. But go over that list, and you'll find that list will encourage your resolve, it will strengthen you, and it will diminish your desire. Because you contrast the reasons for quitting, it will make cigarettes appear less appealing and the desire will go down.
All right. Step number 14, nicotine gum or those patches. Do these things really work?
Well, this is consider. I put consider nicotine gum or patch. Everybody doesn't have to use them. They're not always needed. Some people, however, find, and there are studies that show, that nicotine gum and patches can be quite helpful. But remember, when you take the nicotine gum or patch, you're not removing nicotine from your neurons. What you're breaking is the habit of putting a cigarette in your mouth. But you're still giving nicotine to your neurons, so you really are going to have less cravings, and it allows you to slowly reduce by reducing the concentration of nicotine in the patch or gum. But there still will come a point where you have to stop the gum or the patch. For some people, the habit, the whole paraphernalia of lighters and lighting up and holding it in your fingers and putting it in your mouth, that whole thing is very powerful for them, and they need to break that habit as a way of being free of the nicotine. So sometimes this transition of delivering the nicotine for a while in a new way to break the habit of smoking and then reducing the nicotine slowly allows them to tolerate the cravings easier without the whole paraphernalia. So that can be helpful for some people, and they should consider it. And you can get that over the counter, I believe, but you have to be over 18, I believe, to get that.
In other words, it doesn't work just to smoke less. Instead of going 5 cigarettes a day, I'll go 3 cigarettes a day, then 2 cigarettes. That's not what we're talking about here.
Well, some people do that, and that can be a helpful process to a point, but there still comes a point you have to ultimately stop them.
Yeah,
Okay, you have to ultimately stop them. The other thing you need to know about nicotine gum and patches are nicotine is actually toxic, very toxic. It's poisonous to the human. It's a poison to the human body. And a nicotine patch and then smoking at the same time can kill you because you can get such high concentrations of nicotine. It's lethal. And so you never, and you'll see these warnings on the patch and gum. You cannot smoke, and you cannot smoke with either the gum or the patch, or else you really risk killing yourself acutely. Not the chronic slow death of cancer or emphysema, but the acute death of nicotine poisoning.
Oh boy. Okay, so 14, consider nicotine gum or patch. So number 15, consider medications. Are there things out there that really work for us?
There are medications out there that have documentation to be able to reduce nicotine cravings. They work on certain neuroreceptors that decrease the craving for the nicotine and help people quit. These are prescription only. You need to consult with your doctor. They have risks. They have side effects. They have warnings associated with them. They can affect mood. They can cause somebody to have potential thoughts of suicide. These types of things can occur, or at least have been documented and are in the warning labels associated with some of these meds. So they're not without risk. But some people, these have been true lifelines. They've got on some of these meds that are out there and have experienced great benefit in getting off the cigarettes. So if that's something and there's no other way to get off, usually the medications are only needed for about a 3-month time frame, because once you're off cigarettes for 3 months, then you can come off the medication too, because you're over that whole process. So it's not a medication you take for your entire life.
All right. Okay, well, Dr. Jennings, you have presented to us 15 steps. And by the way, listener, if you have been writing frantically and maybe missed a few steps along the way, there is hope and there is help. www.comeandreason.com. You will find Dr. Jennings' Simple Solutions for Smoking Cessation. It's a document. You'll find it right there. And people are saying, now he tells me. Right there on the website. I wanted you to write it down. comeandreason.com, and you will find every step that was mentioned here and also an explanation of that step. I recommend that you quickly go to that website as soon as the program is over, download this, print it out, use it in your own life or the life of someone that you know who is fighting this very dangerous habit. That's comeandreason.com. Also, while you're there, I want you to spend a moment and help us with our future program starting in January. We're going to change the format slightly, and we're going to be answering your questions. Whatever questions you send to us, we will attack it right here on the air. And you can ask those questions at comeandreason.com. You can also do the same thing at Dr. Jennings' Facebook page. You can search for Come and Reason. You can add your questions there and also enjoy a lot of other resources available to you at the Facebook page and also on the webpage, comeandreason.com. Dr. Jennings, I have spent a year with you, and I have enjoyed every program. I want to say Happy New Year to you, my friend, and thank you so much for the guidance you've given us all during the last 12 months.
And Happy New Year to you, Charles. It's been great. And Happy New Year to our listening audience.
Absolutely. Until next week, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Timothy Jennings, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.